Spot. Driving. No purchase necessary.
The following is a live show streaming from two radio show producers / sports fans. Ray Atkinson and Josh Hall have one mission: to gain your attention. This is the Baltimore Sports Free-for-All.
This is the Baltimore Sports Free-for-All. This is also a dead period for Baltimore sports because, in terms of, you know, the big ones, the big four, so to speak, there's only one going on right now, and even that's on break.
Yeah, this is sort of Major League Baseball's All-Star Week, but it's also the deadest week other than Monday and Tuesday's festivities.
How dead is it, Josh? They're having like an Academy Award show right now on ESPN called the ESPYs. Yeah, apparently people care about it this year. I don't know why.
Well, they did have a scathing red carpet moment there, which I don't understand why they couldn't have saved it for the television broadcast. I mean,
okay, if anybody who didn't see the ESPYs or hasn't watched it or seen anything like go viral on YouTube or anything like that, Ronda Rousey just completely dropped the mic before the show even began. They were interviewing her on the red carpet. They gave her the award on the red carpet for Best Fighter. And I'm looking at this and I'm saying to myself, they should have saved this for the stage, because if they were going to give this to Ronda Rousey, Ronda Rousey is one of the most highly marketable athletes out there right now. She's a woman. That's awesome. And when you look at the way the marketability is set, it was either her or Floyd Mayweather, and both of them have high marketability. They give away the award on the red carpet, and she was interviewed, and oh my goodness, a huge, huge mic drop.
I can't help but really say that I wonder how Floyd feels being beat by a woman for once. Wow. I'd like to see you pretend to not know who I am now.
Woo. Wow. I got to recover from that one for a little bit. That was some serious ether.
I was about to tell you that we should play that, but yeah, it's all you had to do, folks, is just Google Floyd Mayweather, Ronda Rousey, and that will definitely be the first thing that pops up on your news feed.
All right, so in terms of Baltimore sports free-for-all for this episode, we'll announce the winner of our contest, which was already announced on our Facebook page. We're going to talk about the Orioles last week. Spoiler alert, it sucked. And we're also going to be talking about the first half of baseball in general. Going into the All-Star festivities, there was some good representation from the Orioles in said name of Manny Machado, so there's that to look forward to, and we have predictions for the second half. I mean, hey, there's a little bit of stuff we can talk about right here and there on the Baltimore Sports Free-for-All. It's not all about Ronda Rousey, even though, oh, good God, what a soundbite. Oh, that one is a classic.
And that's why we love Ronda Rousey here on the Baltimore Sports Free-for-All, which you can find on
sfmsports.net.
And where else?
You can also find us on Stitcher and Spreaker.
And Audio Boom as well.
Audio Boom is the site that also is in partnership with SFM Sports, so that's a very good thing.
And also on our social media pages.
That would be the Baltimore Sports Free-for-All podcast on Facebook and @BSportsFree, the number 4, all on Twitter.
And you can also check us out on sportsblog.com, where we post any special blogs on all of our social media sites.
They're special.
They are very special.
Special
indeed.
Blog. Very, very
You're
special
so
blog.
Special.
Theater of the mind right now. I'm patting my computer head.
By the way, as far as our ticket contest is concerned, congratulations goes out to Shane of Sparrows Point. You and three others will be attending the Braves versus Orioles game on Monday, July 27th at Oriole Park at Camden Yards.
Feel free to either boo or cheer on Nick Markakis. Your choice is yours.
Well, you do clap in his first at-bat, and then after that, he's just the enemy. He's just like any other guy in another uniform. And I guess if you had to wear a different uniform, if you're a baseball fan of more than just the Baltimore Orioles, this past week was the week to do it because, like Ray said, it sucked. It literally sucked.
Bad. I mean, bad. You had it to where the Orioles had this big, giant stretch where they've won like 17 of 20.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they lose 8 of 10, and they lose another 8 of 10. And it just was overall just not a good way to crash land into the All-Star break. Yeah, there were so many games over 500, and now they are right at 500. Going into the All-Star break and coming out of the All-Star break, because, hey, by the time this podcast airs, the All-Star break would be over. I mean, we're at the last part where, yes, the All-Star game happened, the Home Run Derby happened. We'll get to the Home Run Derby as well, because, hey, they did some changes to the Home Run Derby, and we liked them.
Yep, absolutely. And speaking of how bad the Orioles have played in the last several weeks, including the later part of June, which, by the way, June was a very exciting month to be a Baltimore Orioles fan. We remember the gnome fever that was going on at Camden Yards. The Orioles were in first place.
Orioles and gnomes.
Exactly. The Orioles have won only 5 of their last 15 games, Ray. And in an AL East division, which the Orioles, as of this podcast, are 4 games back, 44-44 is their record. Third place in the AL East, that's not going to get it done. A 5-15 stretch isn't going to get it done.
Not going to get it done, but still set up to, you know, somewhat make a run in the second half. But going into the predictions, I'll tell you exactly my thoughts on that as well. But looking back on this past week, oh, man, where do we start? I mean, yeah, I guess we start at what has been the Achilles heel with all the Orioles losing streaks over the last couple of weeks. And that is the... the hitting.
Yeah. So Monday, July 6th, they started their road series at Minnesota. In the first game, the Orioles lost 4-2 in extra innings. May was the winner at 5-7. Tommy Hunter, the loser, at 2-2. Tuesday, July 7th, at Minnesota, once again, the Orioles lose 8-3. Gibson, the winner, at 7-6. Gausman, the loser, at 1-1. Wednesday, July 8th, at Minnesota, they did get swept. Lost 5-3. Malone, the winner, at 5-1. Norris, the loser, at 2-9 as a reliever. Perkins collected his 28th save of the season. Friday, July 10th, against the Washington Nationals at Oriole Park at Camden Yards, you thought, okay, the 3-2 win over the Nationals in the bottom of the ninth, Britton getting his win, his first win of the year, Rourke losing 4-4. You think, okay, if they can get a series win over the Nationals, all will seem right in the world. And unfortunately, the next two games was not the case. Saturday, July 11th, Orioles lose 7-4. Zimmerman, the winner, is 8-5. Gonzalez, the loser, 7-6. Storen collected his 26th save of the season. And Sunday, July the 12th, at Oriole Park at Camden Yards against the Nationals, they lose 3-2 in a battle of the aces. Scherzer, the winner, at 10-7. Chen, the loser, at 4-5. Storen collected his 27th save of the season. 1-5, the Orioles went in the last week before the All-Star break.
Yeah, the crash landing. That's exactly how you pretty much sum up the past week, is that it was just the point where you had all that buildup in early June, and then all of a sudden here it is, early July, bam, just gone. And now they're back to 500. I remember we were talking about before they hit that hot streak in June, was that, hey, they can't really get past the whole -2 under 500 mark right there. But then all of a sudden they just got really hot. Manny Machado got hot at the right time. Nolan Reimel came back healthy. You had Matt Wieters also come back and be that spark. And then you seem, hey, wow. Looks like even though Dan Duquette had 1 foot out the door in the offseason, that they kind of semi-know what they were doing here. And you were thinking to yourself, okay, I like this. I kind of like where this team is going. They got a decent amount of pitching. Ubaldo Jimenez looks like an ace, and everything's going according to plan now. Whatever that plan was for Dan Duquette, I'm not sure what kind of plan he had in the offseason, but then the last couple of weeks happened, and they're back down into the doldrums. I'm starting to see the haters are starting to come back out of the woodwork, Josh. They were dormant for a while.
During the gnome week.
Yeah, during the gnome week. They were dormant for a long time, actually. I wasn't seeing like any of these like Buck Showalter graphics or calling this team a dumpster fire, and I was like, man, where are those people at right now? They're not really talking right now because they don't really have a leg to stand on or a gnome to stand on, so to speak. But now, all of a sudden, they're back out of the woodwork. I got to think, though, that given our predictions for the second half and everything that's been going on with the Orioles, I just can't see this team sticking it out too much. I think that it might just be a semi-500 year for them, and I think they may be second, third place in the AL East this year, man.
Well, as we're looking at the final stats before the second half here, Jimmy Paredes is your current leader for the Orioles in batting average at .299. And it seems weird because Paredes seems to have been hovering between .295 to .315 this year in batting average. He'll have a week where he looks like the young designated hitter that the Orioles so desperately needed in a franchise for quite some time since, I don't know, the days of Boog Powell and Eddie Murray. Home runs, Manny Machado is your leader there at 19, but hey, guess what? So does Davis. He's got 19 as well. RBIs, Chris Davis is leading that department with 52. On-base percentage, Manny Machado, .361. Hits, Manny Machado, .101. So, I guess the only bright spot that you have on this roster currently, both defensively and offensively, is the all-star Manny Machado. I mean, you have to look at it this way. Had Manny Machado started out the year injured and wasn't able to come back, where would this team be right now?
Yeah, they wouldn't be very good, would they?
No, they wouldn't.
I mean, they would. I guess they'd be a little bit better than last place, but yeah, Manny Machado, just with the way that he's been hitting and just what he means defensively now, at the beginning of the year, not so much, but right now, that is that's quite a key stat. And I have to say this right now, Josh, in the future, when it comes time to sign this kid, if you don't sign him maybe as soon as possible, because with every at-bat and every year, he's ringing the cash register. If you don't sign this guy and treat him as one of your core players, what are you going to do? Because you hit a gold mine with Manny Machado. You're talking about a guy who they said was going to be like the next A-Rod. And the guy is only 23 years old right now. Mm-hmm. And by the way that he's been performing, he could very well be on pace to do that. And he's got, you know, better upside to him than Matt Wieters does as of right now in both their stages of their career. And looking at that, you look at the San Francisco Giants, who have built a dynasty. And the way they drafted and just the luck that they've had, and where players have fallen into their lap each time for draft picks and everything that they've got. Yeah. They've signed all of their core guys. They gave Buster Posey a big contract. They gave Tim Lincecum a big contract. They gave Kane a big contract. I mean, they're keeping these guys around in their ball club, mm-hmm. the ones that matter, and then they're loading up around them. That is what the Orioles need to do, and they need to start that with Manny Machado as well. They've already done that with Adam Jones. They need to do that now with Manny Machado.
They even did it for J.J. Hardy as well, and he's been underperforming.
I wouldn't think, though, that Hardy would be like your core guy going forward as like your future.
But your veteran presence.
Your veteran presence, but to me, I think the future of this team is Manny Machado and whoever you decide to put around him in addition to Adam Jones. Adam Jones is older than Manny Machado, yes, but he's still got many years left in him. It's just that I got to see the Orioles do something with Manny Machado if they want to like convince me that this team is actually serious about competing, and they're no longer saying, oh, I'm just happy with, you know, attendance being there, and, you know, I'm cool with third place in the AL East. No. We can't have that anymore. We cannot have that. You have teased us now since 2012 to not accept losing in this town anymore for, you know, being, oh, it's 14 years consecutive of losing. You've teased us now with winning. We want to see the whole thing. We want to see them get to the World Series again for the first time in over 30 years. We here in the city of Baltimore do not want to be teased by any heel wrestler that comes into town on Monday Night Raw or any type of pay-per-view and make fun of the Baltimore Orioles for not winning a championship in over 30 years.
Yeah. And going to the pitching side of things before the beginning of the second half, your leader in wins is Ubaldo Jimenez with 7 wins this year. ERA, Wei-Yan Chen is leading that department for starters with a 2.78. But, of course, if we had to put another category for relievers, Darren O'Day would be running away with his 1.07 ERA. By the way, Darren O'Day left out of the All-Star game. Before we get to that, though, but yeah, we'll definitely talk about that in our All-Star discussion.
And Zach Britton came in the 6th inning. I was like, yeah. What is going on here?
This doesn't make sense. Darren O'Day.
My brain hurts.
Darren O'Day comes before Zach Britton, but yeah. Strikeouts, Ubaldo Jimenez leads with 98, saves Britton with 23, and All-Star Darren O'Day, fellow All-Star Darren O'Day with 7. So I guess you can say pitching isn't necessarily to blame this year, but maybe, I mean, a 3.74 team ERA, you would think, Ray, in the American League, that is good enough to be, what, 6 games above 500, 7 games above 500 before the All-Star break? It just seems like this Orioles team is Jekyll and Hyde. They'll have a week where the offense stinks and the pitching's good, and then the next week they'll have a week where the offense is good, but the pitching for some reason just can't cut the mustard. And I don't know what it is. I don't know what needs to be done. And I guess maybe this can be left for discussion later in the show, but I feel like some moves are going to have to be made with this team. And I'm not talking designations for assignment. I'm not talking call-ups. I honestly think there has to be an outsider. An outsider needs to come into this organization.
Ah, but that's what I'm saying right now. When you sign Machado and then you just build around him with your prospects that you have right now in your minor league system, and then hopefully bring in an outsider that you would be like a big spark. I mean, look at what Nelson Cruz did for this team last year. as a rental. I mean, good grief, you stole him. He was you stole him and you landed right in your lap. It's like, hey, nobody signed this guy and it's spring training coming up. Hey, Nelson Cruz, you want to come to our team for 1 year and $8 million? Like, okay, well, you know what? Yeah, you know what? Playing for Baltimore is not a bad thing anymore. Okay, sign me up.
Yeah. So I guess we can just leave this to discussion for the second half. You honestly believe in your heart of hearts that this Orioles team will be lucky if there are several games above 500.
I just don't see this Orioles team going the full distance.
Do you think the AL East will be this competitive going into September?
I believe so, yes.
So you think the Orioles will be in it? How long do you think they'll be in it before you say, nope, they're out of it, they're done?
I'd say about maybe 2 weeks, a week before the playoffs begin.
So you think it'll be just like 2013 before Manny Machado had that horrendous injury in Tampa Bay?
I think it's another 2013 where they have a winning record, they're sub 500, but it's just not enough to get into October. But I do think, though, that they have, and I do say this, they have to do something this offseason, because if you have three off seasons in a row where it's just like nothing there, then people are really going to start turning on Duquette. Especially, they're going to bring up the story of last year where he was trying to sign with Toronto and had 1 foot out the door, and the lack of offseason moves that they had this offseason, the people will want to be are going to start calling for Duquette's head hardcore. Even the casual, not even the not so casual fans, even the ones that are just like, "Oh, you guys are being ridiculous," will start saying, "What the hell, Dan?"
All right. Now, before we close this segment out here, I'm going to give you two players, one offensive player and one pitcher. If you had to meet these two personally in a locker room, nobody else is in the locker room, everybody's out, and you had to talk to these two directly and say, you two need to step up your game for the second half, who are those players? Start with hitting.
In terms of hitting, Chris Davis.
Chris Davis. He's got 19 home runs. He's due for 35, but I guess you're referring batting average-wise. Because
yes.
fielding-wise, Davis is good. Home run-wise, Davis is good. It's the batting average that is killing this team right now.
Davis, if you want to prove your worth and be worth the money here, you've got to be able to learn how to adapt to that shift.
Pitching.
Bud Norris?
Hasn't the team already given up on the guy? I mean, he's pretty much in the bullpen right now.
I'll say in the bullpen, but if he can be a fantastic bullpen guy, then you just have another person replace him in the pitching lineup, and then, hey, that lineup is now that pitching rotation is now even better. So I'm giving it to Bud Norris, because if you perform in the bullpen, then there's a chance that you can be on the starting rotation next year and become a Ubaldo Jimenez redemption story.
I'm going to say for hitting, it's a tie with me. I got to have three people now, and it's a tie because I think these two are sort of the centerpiece for this team when they're healthy and when they're on the field, and that's Matt Wieters and J.J. Hardy. I'd say to them, look, guys, I know you're great in the field, but we need you guys to start hitting extra base hits. We need you hitting home runs. I mean, a single is fine here and there, but we need some runs driven in, and when you two are up on bases and getting runners across, that helps this team more than anything. Pitching-wise, it's Chris Tillman. And I know I wrote a blog several weeks ago about Chris Tillman that he was a, quote, ace in the hole, or ace in a hole. And I just think that in order for Chris Tillman to get money like Max Scherzer got money, he's going to have to start collecting wins. And I'm not talking 4 wins in a row. I'm talking 8 wins in a row. I'm talking 9 wins in a row, or 9 of 10, or 9 of 11. Just show me some consistency out of your starting spot in the rotation so that this team has a damn chance in September to contend for the AL East championship.
This is the Baltimore Sports Free For All.
The 2015 MLB All-Star Week was eventful? Question mark?
Eventful in terms of the home run derby, but in terms of the actual game itself, this time it counts. I'm not into it. Because to me, the All-Star game has lost its luster ever since they brought in interleague play in the late 90s. Because one of the big attractions of the All-Star game was that it was American League versus National League, something that you only saw during the World Series, if not. So to see it like in the midsummer as just an exhibition of just the best of the American League and the best of the National League, and if you're playing in a National League ballpark, then that means that the pitchers get to hit, Yeah, that's that was quite the attraction. But now that we see it every day in terms of real competition, now to me it just seems like the All-Star Game just it's not the same that it used to be. And they're trying to add a little bit of flair to it by saying, well, it counts towards the winning league gets home field advantage in the World Series. But I'm looking at that, I'm just like, that's just a half-assed way that you guys try to make up for that tie that you had so many years ago, which doesn't prevent the game from actually being a tie, because there's still a chance that it could be a tie because you bring in players that you have to play because you worried about injuries and you worry about everything else and you want to get every team representation, but you bring in every player and, yeah, you still could have a chance of running out of players. That's exactly what the reason was that that game ended in a tie.
Yeah, what a sucky time it was to be Bud Selig. Like, you had the game ending in a tie. You had a possible strike looming.
Now that I think about it, that is exactly when people started turning on Bud Selig, was because of that. And that was also coming straight when we were seeing the, you know, the Mitchell report that implicated a whole bunch of players in that steroid era, and people talking about the steroid era in baseball and how it happened under Selig's watch and everything else that was happening. I think that was the beginning of the downturn of fans towards Bud Selig, to where they just said, nah, you know what? We don't really like you very much.
Yeah, I can't wait till the NFL Pro Bowl ends in a tie. Imagine the discussion people will have during that weekend when that happens. Oh, yeah, it'll never happen. They just score at such a high capacity that it's impossible to have a tie. But I digress. Or we digress. Yeah, it's just, let's start with the Home Run Derby. I'll say this. In years past with the Home Run Derby, unless you had a dog in a fight, you weren't going to watch it. Unless one of your hometown guys were in the game or in the contest, you weren't even going to bother watching on TV because, oh, what, they're just going to hit until 10 outs and then they take multiple water breaks and everything. But they actually changed it up for the better. They added 4 minutes of total time that you have to play in. Hit as many home runs as you can. You can get one timeout, which is, what, 45 seconds long? And then it's just a battle of, what, 8 guys that are in the Home Run Derby?
And it's that, and you have it to where it's bracketed format instead of, you know, the whole whoever's got, like, the highest amount of home runs in the first round gets to advance on. Then it becomes a bracket format. And with the total 10 out, it's just that you can take as many pitches as you want and then just get ready to, like, hit as many as you can in those 10 outs. Now it's, you get 4 minutes. Well, it was 4 minutes because it was shortened by the threat of weather. I think they should keep it at 4 minutes just because
they should.
They really should keep it at 4 minutes. It seemed like there was a little more of a bit of a sense of urgency to hit home runs out of the park, and they were willing to actually take chances. And you could see some really wild and crazy stuff, like maybe a swing and a miss at a pitch. Yeah, that's something that was rare in the Home Run Derby. But when you did see it with a 10 out format, you're like, wait, what? You took that many pitches just so you could swing and miss that one right down the middle?
I will say this, in representation of the Baltimore Orioles, it was nice to see Manny Machado not necessarily choke in the first round. 12 home runs in the first round is a lot by anybody.
12 home runs in the first round, and everyone's saying, oh, well, the highest he's ever hit in his career is like 415, then he hits 5 consecutive over 450. The dude was hitting him to the moon. The only problem is that the guy that he was going up against was
Peterson.
Was hitting him to Pluto.
Yeah. And it's, I guess this is funny as well, is that there are, I guess Jock Peterson is that one guy, unless you follow baseball religiously, that you say, who the hell is Jock Peterson? And I never saw him play on the LA Dodgers. I know who Chris Bryant is because ESPN brought him up all the time in spring training. But, yeah, Chris Bryant made it to the All-Star Game. He made it to the Home Run Derby. But, yeah, Jock Peterson, I guess you could say the better guy won that round because eventually he found his way into the finals against the hometown kid, Todd Frazier of the Cincinnati Reds. I got to say, Todd Frazier was sort of the underdog in all these battles. He went up against Prince Fielder. He defeated him.
He came back against Prince Fielder and defeated him because, he started out really slow and then just jocked out a whole bunch of home runs to the point where it's like, hey, look at Todd Frazier, the hometown guy, going against the big Prince.
Yep, and then meeting Jock Peterson in the finals. And Jock Peterson, what, 14 home runs in the first round? And even some Reds fans, I'm sure, were saying, He's going to hit 15 home runs in 4 minutes. No way.
Yeah, he had he had 14 home runs in the first round, and he had about 2 minutes to spare.
Yeah, and then flap, hit the game-winning home run, 15th homer of the Derby in that round, and Todd Frazier was your winner. And yeah, the home run Derby was actually quite impressive, even though I will admit I did switch channels here and there, was watching multiple things that night.
Including Monday Night Raw, where they called up the NXT women.
Yeah, that was an exciting segment in on Monday Night Television. But yeah, Todd Frazier was Mr. Excitement in Cincinnati on Monday night at the Great America Ballpark. So I guess you could say, I agree with you. I'm in full agreement with you. They should keep it to 4 minutes because, look, 10 outs in a home run derby for any player is just too strenuous. I mean, you remember when Josh Hamilton hit, what, 40 home runs at Yankee Stadium, at Old Yankee Stadium during the 1 year at the All-Star Game years ago? Even though that's exciting to watch, it was just so time-consuming. Even, I'm sure, television producers were pulling their hair out of their head, like, yeah, this is great television, but you're boring people to death.
It's
overkill.
And it's like, we got to get to the reruns of World Series of Poker.
Yeah, I can't wait.
We got spots to make up.
Good comeback there. Yeah, I can't wait for Orioles bandwagon jumpers to say, oh, Manny Machado's on a slump. He shouldn't have been in a home run derby. Shut up, okay? 12 home runs isn't all that much in a home run derby anyways. It's not going to mess up the guy's swing. If anything, Todd Frazier may be the guy to worry about. But then again, the Cincinnati Reds are going to be trading everybody towards the July 31st deadline anyway. So talk about the MLB All-Star Game. And before we get to the All-Star Game itself, the 2015 All-Star Game, I got to talk about the Franchise Four that was going on throughout all the Major League Baseball teams. Well, what was it with the Orioles? You had Cal Ripken, Jim Palmer, Eddie Murray, and Frank Robinson, I believe. Was that the Franchise Four that was selected there by the fans? I believe that was the case there.
Yeah, the Mount Rushmore of
the Mount Rushmore of
yeah,
so
Orioles.
Yeah. And the Cincinnati Reds, this was the interesting part of that whole ceremony there. The Cincinnati Reds had their Franchise Four that were selected by the fans. Now, here are the selected members. We'll get to the game, of course, but here are the selected members. You have Joe Morgan, Hall of Famer. Barry Larkin, Hall of Famer. Johnny Bench, one of the greatest catchers of all time, Hall of Famer. Pete Rose, all-time
WWE Hall of Famer.
You know what? No, that I was going to say all-time hits leader, but we can't start with that. The guy's not even in the MLB Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but you were talking about Hall of Famer for those three guys. I'm like, wait a minute. Pete Rose is a Hall of Famer. He's in the WWE Hall of Fame.
Oh, jeez.
You can't shortchange that much. For like a couple WrestleManias in a row, he was Kane's bitch.
He got Tombstone three years in a row at WrestleMania. But then again, I guess that should make you Hall of Fame worthy in anybody's eyes, right? Especially if you're 60-something years old at the time.
I mean, you remember also Jim Ross's calls of, Pete Rose just got tombstoned!
By God Almighty, he killed him. All right, so the 2015 MLB All-Star Game, here was the final score. The AL All-Stars won 6-3 over the NL All-Stars. Your MVP of the game was Mike Trout, who led off the first inning for the AL All-Stars with a home run shot. Went 1-for-3, 2 runs scored, 1 RBI, 1 walk. And as far as Orioles representation goes, Adam Jones started for the AL team in left field. Went 0-for-2, did have a strikeout, but played in the field for a couple innings. Manny Machado was actually a contributor to the AL All-Star team. Went 1-for-2. Scored an RBI off a double, also scored a run as well, and had a couple good plays out in third base.
Yeah, if it wasn't for Mike Trout hitting a home run and scoring, also being a run in RBI, I'd say, wow, Manny Machado is a good contender for MVP. But yeah, you'd have to give it to Mike Trout 2 years in a row.
Unless you hit a home run in one of the later innings and contribute more to adding to the score, I guess that could make you MVP, but yeah, leading off with a home run definitely gets you MVP status. Hey, I mean, it worked for Cal Ripken when he hit a second inning home run for the American League team, and that was the first run, and then boom, in 2001, he was your AL MVP, or AL All-Star MVP. Let me re-quote that there. Your winner was David Price of the Detroit Tigers. Your loser was Clayton Kershaw of the LA Dodgers. here are pitchers that got certain statistics here. Zach Britton got a lead hold. Archer for the Rays got a lead hold. And Betances of the Yankees got a lead hold. Britton went two of thirds innings, gave up a hit, had a strikeout, and pretty much played clean baseball in the innings that he was given. But yeah, the sixth inning for Zach Britton, it must have seemed weird to him, because when was the last time Zach Britton made an appearance in a sixth inning? What, when he was trying out for a starter all those years ago for the Orioles?
Yeah, the sixth inning just seemed like it was kind of weird. Darren O'Day not even being used. I mean, O'Day usually is before Zach Britton.
Yeah. And speaking of Darren O'Day, do you think Ned Yost was sort of sticking it to Darren O'Day in a way? Because you do have to remember, the Orioles and the Royals did have some beef in the ALCS back in 2014. I'm not sure it holds over now, but I guess some people had to have speculated.
By holding out your setup guy?
Yeah.
It's kind of low, to tell you the truth.
You think it is low?
I mean, it's low, and it's also very childish, to tell you the truth. I don't think they would stoop to that. I just think that they just didn't get a chance to use him. I mean, here's the thing, Josh. Sometimes players don't get used in the All-Star game.
Chris Tillman.
It happens. Mike Messina, when it was here at Camden Yards, did not get used. And you remember the T-shirts of Cito Sucks?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
For Cito Gaston. But it was the fact that, you know, sometimes it just doesn't happen. Yeah, Mike Messina should have been brought in. I mean, come on. It was a hometown guy. Should have been brought in right there. Darren O'Day, Cincinnati. Well, yeah.
Yeah, but it was his first AL All-Star game. You figured Ned Yost, being a player's coach, would have given a veteran like Darren O'Day the opportunity to at least make one appearance against one batter and at least try to get the guy out.
I will say it was a little bit weird that Adam Jones got left in for that amount of time, considering how he's been fighting off injuries the last couple of weeks.
You think he was trying to pull off some strategy, wink, wink? I'm just kidding.
I'm not sure. But like I said, yeah. To keep a setup man out of an All-Star game is just kind of low in my book. I just don't think that he would actually stoop to that intentionally. I just don't think he could find a way to fit him in. But looking at this All-Star game, future All-Star game formats, can we get rid of the this game counts, please, and just give the home field advantage to the team with a better record?
I was thinking about adding certain contests to the AL All-Star game, especially like, say, the hot corner contest. Have two representatives for third base in the American League, two representatives of the NL compete at third base. See who can complete the most throws, 10 attempts, two first base, clean plays. And whoever won the contest was given the best third baseman, best defensive third baseman of the All-Star game. I mean, it would be fun to watch. I mean, look at how the NBA All-Star game does it. They have three-point shooting contests. They have dunk contests. Wouldn't hurt. I mean, you have to add some form of contest. You have to keep the fans intrigued. But yeah, looking at the All-Star format, I do agree with you once again, just like I did with the Home Run Derby. They do have to stop the this game counts. Let the team with the best, because I'll say this, say in a format down the road, if the Orioles were, say they were 91-71 and made the postseason, and say the Giants had 100 wins and 62 losses, it would not seem fair that the Orioles, who had 9 less wins than the Giants, got to host a World Series, and the Giants were the better team on paper. I think the best team overall in Major League Baseball should host the World Series. But then again, that's just my opinion, and I'm sure you concur as well.
I do as well. So what are we talking about next week?
Training camp's getting close. Preseason.
So you finally want to talk about football?
Sam Cook signed a new deal, 4-year deal. I mean, we didn't at least bring that up. So
Dez Bryant and Demaryius Thomas had the same deal?
Yeah, to avoid conflict with the NFL owners and the NFLPA. But then again, it seems like the NFLPA always has a chip on its shoulder in anything that they get into. But yeah, Sam Cook has now set the bar for punters getting paid in the league now, I suppose. But then again, he wasn't listed as the highest paid punter, was he?
Not really.
Yeah, not really at all. Definitely talk grid. Definitely talk about the Baltimore Anthem. Hopefully the Orioles have a winning week this week. Didn't even look at who they were playing this week. I guess I was just so downtrodden by their series against the Twins and against the Nationals. Oh, yeah, they're going to be playing up against the Detroit Tigers, who they swept in the ALDS last year, and I'm sure Tigers fans and Tigers players who were on that team certainly aren't forgetting about that moment right there. So as
also, according to the Orioles website, also Ant-Man's going to be shown at the game.
Ant-Man is going to be shown at the game?
Yeah, they got it right on the calendar, April 17th. They got it on the calendar for July 17th. I almost said April, I wish it was April, but yeah, July 17th at the Tigers. Yeah, Ant-Man, apparently.
Yeah. You know what else I find funny, too, is that all teams are off for 4 days during the All-Star break, and then they play Friday, and then the series ends on Sunday, and then they're off again on Monday. What's up with that? Don't they get enough break as it is?
That usually doesn't happen. They usually play a bunch of consecutive games in a row, so that's something new this year. But yeah, we'll just be talking about the Tiger series next week, so maybe talking about a 3-0 performance, 47-44?
Definitely. We'll have to stretch that out somehow into a podcast, won't we?
Yes, we will. But until then, this is another edition of the Baltimore Sports Free-for-All. I am Ray Atkinson.
I am Josh Hall.
And we will see you all.
The Baltimore Sports Free-for-All.